This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Ask your doctor about how HBOT can help you achieve your optimal health. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more.
Welcome. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Layla Weighs In. I also welcome your questions and your comments. Please send them to radioprogram@AOL.com. Your questions, your comments to radioprogram@AOL.com. I want to talk today about something you all know about, or at least the danger of. It's the product Roundup by Monsanto. It's about glyphosate. That's the active ingredient in Roundup, which is the popular herbicide. Okay. So apparently we're getting a lot more Roundup than we think. Let me tell you. The weed killer, glyphosate, which is the active ingredient, was first patented and introduced by Monsanto in 1974. And it was basically for agricultural use. Later, it was marketed to consumers as a household herbicide, but it's sprayed in very, very high amounts, very high quantities on most commercially grown staple crops, including wheat, corn, soybean, beets, cotton, canola, and alfalfa. Wow, it's sprayed on cotton. Are we wearing glyphosate? Good question. I'm getting this information to you today from a wonderful article by Dr. Zach Bush in Holistic Primary Care. So let me continue. So the World Health Organization classified glyphosate as a probable human carcinogen, an agent that can cause cancer. And there's been a lot of media coverage, and this was last year that the WHO classified glyphosate as a human carcinogen. There's been a lot of media coverage of the potential health risks associated with the use of this herbicide. I want to tell you the crops again that are mostly sprayed: wheat, corn, soybean, beet, cotton, canola, alfalfa. Got to wonder about those alfalfa sprouts in your salad or your sandwich. So, but here's the other way that glyphosate or Roundup is being used that many people don't know about. Since 1992, glyphosate has also been widely used as a ripening agent, as a desiccant. And it's used as a desiccant on wheat and many other grains. This application, using glyphosate as a desiccant, it stresses or kills the plants to accelerate their drying and speed the ripening of the grain immediately before harvest. Makes it easier to go through the machine that they harvest with. That's really what's going on. And it's interesting because it was made mention to me recently that, you know, as much as 30 years ago, that glyphosate was definitely being used as a desiccant on potato crop. So, desiccating wheat crops with glyphosate is particularly common, especially when we have years with a lot of wet weather, which has been increasing in a lot of upper Midwestern states in the U.S. as well as areas in Canada. This pre-harvest application, meaning using the glyphosate as a desiccant for harvesting and for the ripening process. Now, because of this, there's even more glyphosate residue on the grain by the time it reaches market than there would be if the compound had only been used as an herbicide during the growing process. So, if your bread is not organic, at your favorite restaurant and they bring you the bread basket, it is likely soaked in glyphosate. That's actually how Dr. Bush, Zach Bush, opens this article. So, did you know that in addition to wheat, glyphosate is also used as a desiccant on oats, rye, lentils, peas, flax, potatoes, buckwheat, and millet? A couple of gluten-free grains here, buckwheat and millet. Let me tell you those grains again. In addition to wheat, that glyphosate is also used as a desiccant or a ripening agent on oats, rye, lentils, peas, flax, potatoes, buckwheat, and millet. A lot of our favorite foods. And there's a lab in Virginia that's been testing glyphosate levels in common foods. The amount of glyphosate estimated in one slice of ordinary pizza, according to Dr. Bush, is roughly 10 ppm. That's 10 parts per million. Now that, in addition to the gliadin protein from the gluten in the crust, you know, it's gliadin, the active peptide, the protein, the peptide in gluten, that's problematic to people who have gluten intolerance or celiac disease. As far as we know, there may be more to the peptide that's problematic. So, in addition to the roughly 10 parts per million of glyphosate in an ordinary slice of pizza, and in addition to the gliadin protein from the gluten in the crust, this is enough now to cause leaky gut. It's enough to degrade human intestinal tight junctions in cell culture almost immediately upon contact. This is a lab in Virginia. I believe it's in Virginia. It might be, yes, Biomedic Sciences. All right. Now, let me continue. There's a wonderful article in Surgical Neurology International. The authors Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff. Stephanie Seneff has been very vocal. She's a scientist at MIT. According to their article, gluten intolerance and celiac disease now affects an estimated 5% of the population in North America and Europe. Symptoms can include nausea, skin rashes, macrocytic anemia, depression, diarrhea. I'm going to talk to you in another podcast about mental illness, depression, and wheat, gluten, upcoming. Anyway, they show in their article that a sharp rise in usage of glyphosate in the U.S. in wheat in the last decade is actually in step with the sharp rise in the incidence of celiac disease. We're getting more and more diagnoses of celiac disease. Has anyone noticed? Well, several things at play here. Yes, it could be the use of glyphosate, which are making symptoms ever more present, number one. Number two, it could also be that there's now more awareness of celiac disease. So Samsel and Seneff proposed that glyphosate is the most important causal factor in this epidemic. There's another way that glyphosate is problematic and how it may contribute to our neurological diseases. I'm now stepping over to the Seneff Samsel article. Let me just read you a little bit from the abstract. Manganese is an often overlooked but important nutrient, and it's required in small amounts for multiple essential functions in the body. There was a recent study on cows fed genetically modified Roundup Ready feed, you know, the corn and soy that's genetically modified, revealed a severe depletion in serum manganese. Glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, has also been shown to severely deplete manganese levels in plants. And in this study, the authors investigate the impact of manganese on physiology, its association with gut dysbiosis, leaky gut, as well as any pathologies, neuropathologies such as Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety, Parkinson's, all of that. So what happens with glyphosate when under conditions of adequate manganese in the diet, glyphosate, through its disruption of bile acid homeostasis, ironically produces toxic accumulation of manganese in the brainstem, leading to conditions such as Parkinson's disease. We know that an overload of manganese is associated with Parkinson's disease, and maybe this is also why we're seeing an increase in Parkinson's. It is said that Parkinson's, what triggers Parkinson's, what may be a catalyst or even a cause of Parkinson's disease, is exposure to environmental toxins. But here is this very popular toxin, glyphosate, Roundup, which is causing this perversion of manganese in the body and causing its toxic accumulation of manganese in the brainstem. This is fascinating. So, I didn't know this. In 1996, New York's Attorney General sued Monsanto over the company's use of false and misleading advertising about Roundup. And the case ended with Monsanto finally agreeing to stop calling Roundup biodegradable. I think they still say they're biodegradable, but let me read the rest. And they agreed, Monsanto agreed to pull any advertising that claimed that Roundup was safer than table salt, practically non-toxic, and stayed where you put it. Apparently, yeah, it's not the case, so that would be false advertising. And also the state of California has also moved to classify the herbicide as a probable carcinogen. A growing body of scientific research is also revealing the detrimental effect of glyphosate as an endocrine disruptor, a gender bender, disrupting our endocrine system, behaving as xenoestrogens. That's what we get from the environment and from places like phthalates and parabens and plastics and so forth, BPA. The substance also kills beneficial gut bacteria, that is, glyphosate does, kills beneficial gut bacteria, damages DNA in human embryonic, placental, and umbilical cord cells, and is linked to birth defects and reproductive problems in lab animals. Okay. So, since Monsanto has introduced glyphosate, which, by the way, followed the ban on DDT, the company started selling it direct to consumers in the 80s, and since that time, both agricultural and consumer use have both skyrocketed, washing out our driveways, our lawns, our croplands, and into our water systems. I worry about the aquifers, especially in rural areas like Eastern Long Island, a place that I'm very fond of. And in 1996, you know that Monsanto debuted the first genetically engineered glyphosate-resistant Roundup ready crops, corn and soybean. Now, remember that this is also fed to our commercially farmed animals. So those of you who are still eating commercial meat, not organic, not grass-fed, you're getting the corn, the soybean, which is genetically modified, as well as the glyphosate residue in the animal. So now, the whole crop could be sprayed throughout its life cycle to prevent weeds and increase crop yield. I'm getting back to the genetically engineered glyphosate-resistant crops, Roundup-ready crops. So this crop now is being sprayed even more often because it can withstand and it will prevent weeds and increase crop yield. With each passing year, more acres of wheat, corn, soybean, beet, cotton, canola, alfalfa, and other staple crops are sprayed with glyphosate. Glyphosate is dumped on us at a rate of 300 million pounds per year, almost 1 pound for every person in the U.S. And estimates are, and this is very disturbing, estimates are that 75% of our rainwater, we already know it's polluted, right? But guess what? Estimates are that 75% of rainwater is contaminated by glyphosate, according to EcoWatch. And the United States Geological Service reports that more than 88,000 tons of glyphosate were used in the U.S. in 2007, and that's up from 11,000 tons used in 1992. And now, since then, the advent of superweeds, the use of glyphosate has risen significantly. You know, just like antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and you have to hit it with harder, more rounds of antibiotics, stronger antibiotics. Now that we have superweeds, weeds that are becoming resistant, because, you know, nature and survival of the fittest, nature wants things to survive. So now we have superweeds, and as a result, the use of Roundup has risen significantly. So, since 1974, in our country, over 1.6 billion kilograms of glyphosate active ingredient have been applied, or 19% of estimated global use of glyphosate. That's 8.6 billion kilograms. Holy. Two-thirds of the total volume of glyphosate applied in the U.S. from 1974 to 2014 has been sprayed in just the last 10 years. That's from author Ben Brook, Trends in Glyphosate Herbicide Use in the United States and Globally. All right. So globally, glyphosate use has risen almost 15-fold since Roundup Ready crops were introduced in 1996. And get this, Reuters has reported that researchers found residues of glyphosate in an astounding 41 of 69 honey samples, 10 of 28 samples of soy sauce, that's a wheat derivative, you know, soy sauce, 3 of 18 breast milk samples, and 6 of 40 infant formula samples. So, getting back to leaky gut, the damage of the tight junctions in our gut. In the intestines, glyphosate is a profound zonulin stimulator. Gliadin protein in gluten is also what stimulates the release of zonulin. Zonulin is what is released in the gut, this chemical that damages the epithelial tight junction tissue on contact. It weakens barriers that protect us on the inside from environmental toxins to which we are exposed. This all leads to intestinal permeability or leaky gut. And zonulin production initiated by Roundup exposure quickly becomes systemic. Injury to the tight junction membrane in the brain can result in a breakdown of the blood-brain barrier and a host of neurological symptoms. It's damaging our immune system. 60 to 70% of our immune system is in the gastrointestinal tract, in GALT. GALT is the acronym for gastrointestinal lymphatic tissue. Okay? So, this acute inflammatory response becomes chronic inflammation as the system is overwhelmed with toxins from the outside world. So, zonulin is released by glyphosate. It's also released from gliadin protein and gluten. So this is like a double whammy assault on our GI tracts. So, when these tight junction gaps are damaged and we have intestinal impermeability, unwanted proteins are gaining entry into the bloodstream. Immune activating lymphocytes like T cells are then triggered And that begins the whole inflammatory process. And that can initiate conditions such as celiac disease, thyroid disease, joint diseases, and asthma. Okay. Genetically engineered and genetically modified organisms, GMOs, are live organisms whose genetic components have been artificially manipulated through creating unstable combinations of plant, animal, bacteria, and even viral genes that do not occur in nature or through traditional crossbreeding methods. The creation of GMO is not through traditional crossbreeding methods. Now, in the U.S., 88% of the corn crop, 93% of the soybean crop, 90% of sugar beets, and 94% of cotton are genetically engineered to be able to survive the application of glyphosate. And as a result, of course, they're sprayed heavily with glyphosate to control weeds and simplify the harvest. So this is unfortunate because our factory farm livestock are fed this GMO corn and soy, as I said earlier, and these are super concentrated in glyphosate. This gets concentrated into their flesh and their fat, which further contaminates the food supply chain. All right. So, according to Dr. Bush, his team had been thinking that glyphosate had the same effect on epithelial tissue as gliadin, just much more severe. It now appears that the combination of gliadin and glyphosate does much more damage than either one alone. And his lab results over at Biomic Sciences have shown that the synergy between gluten and glyphosate decreased the efficacy of the tight junction barrier by an additional 52% versus either gluten or glyphosate alone. So this is food for thought. Next time you're out at a restaurant, you know that bread basket is not, unless it is organic bread, you're getting quite a bit of glyphosate and possible damage and cause of leaky gut. So these are the dangers of glyphosate. Don't use the stuff on your lawn. There have to be other methods. You want to use more natural methods. You may need to apply things like vinegar. Yes, you have to do it more often because glyphosate really takes care of the problem. But hey, I like dandelions and other weeds. They're pretty. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.